It is great to be with y'all today. If we haven't had a chance to meet yet, my name is Cameron. I'm the student pastor here at the Benton campus. And man, I'm really excited to be here this morning and to get to walk through a little bit more of our series called Inside Out. If you are joining us for the first time today in a while, for the last several weeks, we've been walking through the Sermon on the Mount. And so we've been looking at what Jesus taught to his disciples in that moment. And we've been kind of taking that apart verse by verse and looking at what he had to say to his disciples and then what he has to say to us now and how what he teaches in that sermon actually transforms us not only from the inside out, but also takes what the world views and teaches and sees and turns it on its head, turns it inside out as well. So today we're actually going to start moving into what is widely considered to be the kind of final section of the Sermon on the Mount. We've had kind of three major sections that we've walked through or that is in the Sermon on the Mount. We've walked through two. We're starting the third one today. And so we're going to be in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 7. If you want to start turning there, you're welcome to do so. If you do not have a Bible, you're welcome to use the app on your device. And if you don't have either one of those, we will have the verses on the screen for you. But we talked last week. Cody was up, and he did a fantastic job talking through verses 7 through 11, where Jesus tells us to ask, seek, and knock, to continue to pray and petition to the Father for the things that we need, knowing and understanding that he does care for us, that he does take care of us, even in the situations where we may ask for one thing, but he gives us something else because what he gives us is better than the thing that we're asking for. And so today, as we transition, we're going to jump in, and there's, like I said, three verses. And the first part is something that's going to be very familiar to a lot of us. So if you guys will, as we get ready to read, if you'll stand with me, just in honor of God's word, as we read chapter 7 of Matthew, verses 12 through 14, it says this: "So whatever you wish that others would do to you, do also to them, for this is the law and the prophets. Enter by the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is easy that leads to destruction, and those who enter by it are many. For the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few." You can be seated. So as we start this transition into the final section of the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus begins with this little verse that has become known as the Golden Rule. And you see, he starts it off there. "So whatever you wish that others would do to you, do also to them, for this is the law and the prophets." And as we break down these verses, we're going to see that Jesus is calling us to follow one of two ways. And so if you're a note taker, you have your bulletin or anything like that, the first thing that we're going to pull out of this passage is this, that Jesus makes it clear that there are only two ways to follow. He starts off with this golden rule, and he leads into it "so," which means it's a continuation, not necessarily of the verses right before it, but of all the verses preceding it in the Sermon on the Mount. Because if you can remember way back in chapter 5, when we first began this series, Jesus makes this comment where he says, "Now don't think that I've actually come to do away with the law and the prophets. No, I've come to fulfill them. I've come to complete them. I've come to carry them out in the way that God intended." And we see here in this passage, he said, "Whatever you wish others would do to you, do also to them, for this is the law and the prophets." He's made a little sandwich for us, right? Like in chapter 5, he says, "Don't think I've come to abolish the law and the prophets, I've come to fulfill them." And then he teaches and he teaches and he teaches. And then here, he says, "So," continuation, "whatever you wish others would do to you, you do to them, for this is the law and the prophets." And we see this, it's even labeled in our Bibles, most of our Bibles, as the Golden Rule. And I did some digging on why it's called that. And a lot of people think, well, it's actually called that because it's this beautiful piece of teaching, or some people would even say advice. And it's so great and it's so insightful that it's just like, it's the standard. It's the golden standard. The reason it actually got that name is because there was an emperor in Rome named Alexander Severus, a couple of hundred years after Jesus walked the earth, who heard this phrase, heard this teaching of Jesus, and was so enamored by it that he actually inscribed it in gold on the wall of his room. And it just kind of adopted the moniker since then, the Golden Rule, because you notice Jesus doesn't refer to it as that. And we hear this and we see it as kind of just a great piece of advice. I've seen it printed on posters that have been in places outside the church, which is not a bad thing. That is truth that is out there. But we take it and we hold it up as something that's like, oh, that's a really cool saying. Man, that's something that would be great to caption on a Facebook or Instagram post or to say to somebody when they're in a time of need and they need some counsel, just like we take and we adopt all these other sayings from all these other places because they're just good pieces of advice, no matter where they come from, right? And so we have so many piled up. And so the one that was the golden rule at our house, we had a couple of the VHS Disney movies, you know, and Bambi was one of them. And Thumper, anybody remember Thumper? Can't say nothing nice, don't say nothing at all, right? And we hold it up as kind of, man, that's real good. Can't say anything nice, don't say anything at all, right? That's great. We see that as kind of a piece of it, but it's so much more than that. And here's what's interesting about this phrase that Jesus teaches here. This idea is not unique to the Sermon on the Mount. People that walked the earth before Jesus did, before he began his earthly ministry, actually taught similar things. One of the most famous ones was a rabbi whose name was Hillel, and he taught this in a way that was very unique. He was actually, contemporary of Jesus in that he was walking the earth at the same time that Jesus was, but Jesus was very young, hadn't begun his ministry when Hillel was teaching. But it's famously quoted in Jewish tradition that Rabbi Hillel was approached by a young man who said, "Rabbi, I want you to teach me the entire law and the prophets. Teach me the entire Torah while I stand on one leg." Now, the Torah, for the Jewish culture and for Jewish belief, is actually, you know, the first five books of the Bible. He says, "Rabbi, I want you to teach me that while I stand on one leg." And Rabbi Hillel says, "Okay, do not do to your neighbor what is hateful to you. This is the whole Torah. The rest is commentary." The end. Puts this unexpected twist on it. But here's what is unique to Jesus, the phrasing and the context where it happens. Because notice, if you heard the way that the rabbi taught it, "Do not do to your neighbor what is hateful to you," is actually a negative example of it. Before Jesus, nobody had ever uttered this in the positive. So instead of "do not do to your neighbor what is hateful to you," Jesus takes what is known in Jewish circles at that time and teaches them, whatever you wish that others would do to you, do also to them. So instead of "don't do," it's "do." Instead of negative, it's positive. And here's why this is a big deal, because fulfilling the negative example of the golden rule is not hard. It's easy to not do to somebody what is harmful to me. Anybody can live by that. There's a theologian named William Barclay who had this to say about the golden rule. He says, "It's perfectly possible for a man of the world to observe the negative form of the golden rule. He could, without very serious difficulty, so discipline his life that he would not do to others what he did not wish them to do to him. But the only man who can even begin to satisfy the positive form of the rule is the man who has the love of Christ within his heart. He will try to forgive as he would wish to be forgiven, to help as he would wish to be helped, to praise as he would wish to be praised, to understand as he would wish to be understood. He will never seek to avoid doing things. He will always look for things to do. Clearly, this will make life much more complicated. Clearly, he will have much less time to spend on his own desires and his own activities, for time and time again, he will have to stop what he is doing to help someone else. It will be a principle which will dominate his life at home, in the factory, on the bus, in the office, on the street, on the train, at his games, everywhere. He can never do it until self withers and dies within his heart. To obey this commandment, a man must become a new man with a new center to his life. And if the world was composed of people who sought to obey this rule, it would be a new world." So when Jesus makes this statement to do to others as we would wish that they would do to us, and to teach this in a new light and put a different spin on it and can show us what it means to actually do that, he says, this is the law and the prophets. Again, he's talking about his fulfillment that he came to bring to that. But he also points forward. Later in this very gospel of Matthew in chapter 22, somebody approaches Jesus and asks him what the greatest commandment is. He says, the first one is this, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And the second is to love your neighbor as yourself. See, every single time, here is Jesus calling us to what God calls his people to as a whole. This entire Sermon on the Mount has been telling us what it means to be a disciple of Jesus that lives within his kingdom on this earth. And it looks completely different than the rest of the world. So the difference in this one is who is saying it. The difference in this statement is because Jesus has spoken it. And he says it here in this Sermon on the Mount, teaching us what it means to live in the kingdom. See, we saw earlier in the sermon, six different times, Jesus started to teach by saying, you have heard it said, but I say to you. You have heard it said, but I say to you, there is this way and there is this way. There is this way of the world. There is this way that I'm calling you to. Over and over and over again, it's either the way of the kingdom or the way of the world. And we hear that phrase, do to others as we would have them do to us. And it sounds great, but also a very tall order. That would be kind of hard. But the beautiful thing about it is that Jesus is calling us to this because Jesus has done that for us. See, we didn't get what we deserve. We didn't get the condemnation. We didn't get the judgment. We didn't get the death that we deserve because of our sin. Instead, God sent his son to live the life that we couldn't, to die the death that we deserve, and to be raised again so that sin and death could be defeated forever and we could be given a way to be in relationship with God. And since those of us that follow Jesus have been transformed in that way, those of us that are walking with him are walking in his kingdom, then that means that what we have experienced causes us to want to let others experience that same thing. So the grace that we have been shown, we show to others. The forgiveness that we have been shown, we show to others. The mercy that we have been shown, we show to others. See, to live by this golden rule, to actually fulfill this, can only be done by the indwelling of the Spirit, which is done through the forgiveness of Jesus. And Jesus is calling us to follow his kingdom and his way. So we take this quote and we divorce it from the context that it's in and hold it up as, oh, that's really smart and that's really brilliant. It's a cute one-liner that we can slap on a poster, but it becomes impossible for us to fulfill. But when we understand it, when Jesus is saying it and why he is saying it, we see that it's the fruit of a life that has been transformed by the gospel. So he's telling us you can follow this way of the kingdom, and this kind of life where we treat others as we wish to be treated is empowered through us by the Spirit and is only attainable and will be a result of our following Jesus. We can continue to follow the way of the world. See, he's laying out these two paths. You follow the way of the kingdom, you can follow the way of the world. And so he moves into this example where he talks about these gates and these ways. And so if you'll continue on with me, we're going to read verse 13, where Jesus talks and tells us that there's one way that leads to destruction. He says in verse 13, enter by the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is easy that leads to destruction, and those who enter by it are many. We're going to learn a new word today, all right? It's a Greek word. It pops up in this passage, and I'll explain in just a second, but I need you to repeat it. It's the word hodos. It means way or road or path. So say with it, hodos. Okay, remember that. It's going to come back into play, all right? And so we see that Jesus is calling us to follow after him instead of this wide way and this easy way that leads to destruction. And look at the way that he describes these things. The gate is wide and the way is easy that leads to destruction, and those who enter by it are many. There's a lot of room on this way. And there's a lot of people on this way. It's a lot of people walking down. And what's even more interesting, if you have a Bible that has footnotes, you'll notice that there's a little one right there in that very verse. If I have the ESV here, and they show this, and that points you to the bottom where it has a little footnote. If you ever wonder what those numbers or letters are there for, you can go down to the bottom, and it'll say it and tell you why it's there. There's actually some manuscripts that we have of this passage where Jesus doesn't use the word gate in this verse. So instead, it reads this way: enter by the narrow gate. He uses it to talk about the narrow one, but he says, for the way is wide and easy that leads to destruction, and those who enter by it are many. And Cameron, why are you bringing that up? Because I think it's really important for us, because we read this passage, we hear about these two ways, and we think, oh, well, there's a wide gate and a wide road that leads to destruction, and it's here. And then there's a narrow gate with a narrow path that leads to life, and it's here. And I've got to choose which one I want to be on. But I wonder if Jesus intentionally didn't say there was a gate on the wide road, because we understand from Scripture that we are all born sinful, and therefore we are all born onto the wide road. It's not, well, if I just stay right here, I don't make a decision, I'm not going to end up on either. No, we find ourselves on the wide road as human beings that are broken, sinful, messed up, and born with our sin. We find ourselves on this wide road. That's our natural place. If you're like me, I don't think that there's going to be too many in here, but for some of you, I read this verse and a song started playing in your head. As soon as I started reading, there's a little guitar riff that kicked off. And now you're singing AC/DC in your head. They have a song, for those of you who don't know, called Highway to Hell, right? And they wrote this as kind of this anthem for what it means as a band to live life on the road. But listen to what they say. This is just the first verse. Living easy, living free, season ticket on a one-way ride. Asking nothing, leave me be. Taking everything in my stride. Don't need reason, don't need rhyme. Ain't nothing I would rather do. Going down, party time. My friends are going to be there too. A little bit of a glimpse into this attitude that we have when we're walking on the wide road. Don't ask anything of me. I just want to do my own thing. I want to go my own way. And, you know, we're going to have a good time because this is a wide road. It's easy to walk. And there's a lot of us here. It's going to be a big party and all that kind of stuff. And we like easy. I don't remember what company it was that had the whole ad service with the easy button, the big red button that they would push it and make things easier. But we wish we all had that easy button in our lives. Perfect example of this. You guys may or may not know, during the summer, FSM takes a stateside mission trip together with all of our grades from all of our campuses that we call FSM United. For a couple of years, when I first started, we went to New Orleans as part of that. If you've ever driven from Little Rock to New Orleans, you know that it is not fun. Because there's not really any good interstate or highway that gets you there quickly. You got to get into Mississippi and zigzag over and get into Louisiana and all that kind of stuff. Like, there are multiple paths, but none of them are really great. Because, see, we like to take those routes that are going to take us on the wide interstate where there's all those lanes and not a lot of traffic. And even if there is, you can't really feel it because it's so big and there's no roundabouts, praise the Lord, and all that kind of stuff. But there are actually, I looked it up, there are 46,867 miles of interstate in the United States. That's almost twice the circumference of the earth. And it's that way because we love things that are easy. It is easy for us to travel on the interstate rather than it is to take a back road that may not be as well maintained, that may have some twists and turns, that may take us to a place where we have to speed up and then slow down and then speed up and slow down and speed up and slow down. And here Jesus is talking about this way that is wide and easy. And we have to ask ourselves, why is this way easy? Why does he refer to it as such? Well, it's easy to walk down something that is wide open. And on this way, you can do what you want. You can live life the way that you choose, and it's full of people, which for us gives us a false sense of security because everybody else is doing it, right? Those of us with kids, we blast our kids for saying that, but you know, everybody's doing it, and we adopt that sometimes as adults too. Well, it's okay to do this thing because it's not that bad. Everybody really does this. The way is wide and easy. There's a lot of seemingly great features about this way, this hodos. The problem's the destination. See, the way is wide and easy, and there are a lot of people on it, but it leads to destruction. Jesus is essentially saying this is a really popular dead end. It goes nowhere. And it ends in destruction. And I don't want you to, if you're here for the first time, and maybe this is something that you've heard or thought of, or maybe this is the first time you're hearing anything taught from Jesus, I want you to know, like, we here at Fellowship, we lift up the name of Jesus because of what he has done for us, that he died in our place, that he offers us salvation and right relationship with God, and he offers us life and life to the full now and life eternal with him. But he also shows us that there is another way that we can take. And that way is wrapped up in our own sin. And it is this wide road that we can walk down where we are doing our own thing on our own time, going our own way. And as long as nobody else bothers us and you don't judge me and I don't judge you, everything's good. But without him, it leads to destruction. I mean, we sang just a little bit ago, all hail King Jesus. Like there, we believe that there's going to come a day where Jesus is going to return. And scripture tells us that every knee in heaven and on earth and under the earth will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord to the glory of God the Father. So that song is going to get sung. The choice that's before you today is that going to be something that you sing in worship and awe and reverence and celebration because your king has come? Or is that something that you're going to sing because you're forced to do it because the way that you live now ignored him? And now you face the judgment for that. I want you to hear me, church. I'm not saying that to try and scare anybody into relationship with Jesus, because that never works. But I also think that there has been a swing within the Big C church, especially in America, to kind of avoid that topic and avoid talking about that to the detriment of the entire gospel. Yes, it's not just about me following Jesus means I get to go to heaven when I die. No, that means I get him here and now too. But it's both and. It's not either or. And without him here and now, what we get in eternity is separation from him. That's where the wide road leads. One way leads to destruction. The third thing is this: one way leads to life. Verse 14, for the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few. So again, he says, for the gate is narrow and the hodos is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few. He says this gate is narrow. It's small. And I think it's very important that he mentions the gate first. Because I've heard it taught before that Jesus says there's a narrow way, and then once we reach the end of our life, we enter through this narrow gate into the kingdom. And I think Jesus is very intentional about the order that he puts these things in, because he is referring to himself as the gate. We don't enter into this path of life without passing through him. And since we do that, we enter into that life because of him, our salvation, that life is secure. And so as we walk, it's not that we're earning our place to pass through the narrow gate, because we did that already. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. But instead, we get to experience salvation and walk with him through this life. And he says something about this way that we don't like to talk about. This way is hard. See, for some reason, we've bought into this lie that following after Jesus should be easy. So many people out there, maybe even today, are standing and holding open a Bible and trying to tell people that as long as they are good people and they are following and anything that they ask for in Jesus' name, he will give them. So if he wants to, if they want a blessing, they just need to pray and have faith and they'll get that blessing. And if they're sick and they want to be healed, they just need to pray and have faith and they're going to be healed. And if they're not doing that, it's because they don't have enough faith, because God will just do all those things for them because he's there to kind of be their rabbit's foot or their genie and give them the things that they want, because following after him should be easy. Yet Jesus here says this way is hard, and it's not the only time that Jesus has told us. He tells us over and over and over again, following after me is going to cost you your life, your desires, your wants, your plans, but it's also going to cost you ease. It's going to be difficult. It's going to be hard. The world is going to hate you. People are going to persecute you. I think one of the biggest signs of this, and I've mentioned this to you guys before, is that in 2005, some folks set out to do a study about what teenagers believed. And what they found as they surveyed them was very troubling. And the reason I bring it up, because we're like, oh, well, that's teenagers, and that was in 2005. The problem is those teenagers had to be taught somewhere about this. So I think it's a symptom and a sign of us as a larger culture and of us as adults as well. And they had this idea of Christianity that wasn't actually Christianity. And the people that did the study termed it, I've told you this before, moralistic therapeutic deism. Moralistic, be good. Therapeutic, God wants you to be happy. And deism, God's there, he doesn't really need to be involved. So here are the five tenets of moralistic therapeutic deism. One, a God exists who created and ordered the world and watches over human life on earth. Most of us say, yeah, check mark. Two, God wants people to be good, nice, and fair to each other as taught in the Bible and most world religions. No. The central goal of life is to be happy and to feel good about oneself. God does not need to be particularly involved in one's life except when God is needed to resolve a problem. And then five, good people go to heaven when they die. The problem is that Jesus is never mentioned in that. Therefore, it's not Christianity, because Jesus Christ is not in this. It's this idea that God's there to serve us, but everything's going to be good, and you just need to make sure that you are being a good person and making sure that you are happy and you feel good about yourself, and everything will work out and be okay. So this road that we walk when we follow Jesus, according to these folks, is not going to be difficult. It's not going to be hard, but Jesus says here that it is. Why? And please notice, he doesn't say that this way is hard to find. He made it very clear. He revealed himself to us. God took on flesh and showed us the way himself. It's not this cosmic game of hide and seek that God is playing with us. No, he has shown us the way. The reason that it's hard is because we don't want to get off the wide road where we're able to do whatever we want, whenever we want. So we don't want to sacrifice lordship and kingship over our own lives and the reign in our own lives. It requires us to give up our sin, our preferences, and our plan to follow after his. And we hear that and say, okay, it's going to be hard. Cameron, why would I want to do that? Because he promises that he will be with you. Later in this very gospel, in Matthew 11:30, Jesus says, anybody who is struggling, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. This image of Jesus walking alongside us down this difficult path, but it's okay because the one who made it is with us. But it is going to be hard. And Jesus says, because of that, few find it. Beautiful example is John chapter 6. There are people following Jesus. It's not just the 12. There's a group of disciples. And Jesus starts talking about what it means to follow after him and how it's going to be difficult. And most of the crowd hears that and says, this is a hard teaching. Who can accept it? And they turn away and leave. Because this way is hard. This way is difficult. This hodos that Jesus calls us to. But here's what's so cool about this. Jesus is saying, I am the gate to this road of life. Jesus says in John that I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes to the Father except through me. He says, I am the hodos. I am the truth and the life. Not one, not a way or a truth or a life. I am the. But not only that, he calls us to follow on this way, this hodos after him. And what is so cool to me is that later on, after Jesus is crucified, but then he's resurrected, he ascends into heaven, and we see the book of Acts and his people following after him. And all of a sudden, they start to cause a ruckus, and the Jewish leaders and people around them don't really like them all of a sudden. They start arresting these people that are following Jesus, and they call them followers of the way. Followers of the hodos of Jesus. This way that has a narrow gate and is hard to walk and few find it, and yet we walk it with Jesus. And so the question to you this morning is, which way are you following? See, Jesus makes it clear to us there's only two. None of this, well, all religions are different paths up the same mountain and they reach the same summit. No! Christianity doesn't fit in that bubble because Jesus says, no one comes to the Father except through me. And this way in following after me is hard and few find it. So you can walk this wide and easy way of the world and chase the things that everybody else is chasing, and you will find emptiness. You will never be fulfilled. You'll keep moving and trying to find purpose and never find it. And eventually, if you keep following that road, it will lead to destruction. You are headed in the wrong direction. Or you can follow the way, the hodos of Jesus, and find forgiveness and find what you were created for, to be in relationship with God. But it's going to be a difficult path, but it will be worth it. Because Jesus says, I've come that they may have life and have it to the full. And that's here and now with him in this life, and that is also with him in life eternal. It's both of those things. The question is, will you leave the wide road and follow the narrow one? So I'm gonna ask Joel and the worship team to come back out. And here's what I want to do, just to respond to what God has been saying to us today. We invite you here at Fellowship to find the way of life. I don't know what that looks like. I know some of you in this room, you have been following after Jesus on that way, and it has been difficult, and you have stumbled, and you have fallen, and all that stuff. But maybe you need to be reminded today that he is with you. He never said it was going to be easy, but he did promise to be with you. Maybe there's some things that you just need to repent of and say, God, I'm going to hand this thing over to you because I know I've been clinging to this instead of following after you in your way. But some of you today have never left that wide road. You've never given your life over to Jesus. And today the invitation is to you to do that very thing. So as we sing this next song, we're going to stand. I'm going to be right down here. I'm going to ask John, who's one of our elders you saw earlier who did the announcements, to come down front with me. If you want somebody to talk to or pray with, we're here. Come on. There's no judgment, no shame, or anything like that to move during this time. But however God is leading, I pray that you would be obedient. Let me pray for you. Father, thank you for showing us the way to life. Not only showing us the way to life, God, but providing us a way to enter into that. Completely and utterly through your own love and your own mercy and grace to us through your Son. God, for those who may not have experienced that before, I pray that today would be the day that you would be drawing them to yourself. God, for those of us that have been following in your way but are feeling the difficulty of that, God, I pray for encouragement and peace and knowing that you are here with us and you go with us when we walk that path. Father, continue to move this morning. I pray all this in Jesus' name.